Good morning, everyone. Certainly good to see everyone this morning. It is a blessing to be here, to be with you all this morning. It is an honor to be before you speaking this morning. This honor comes with great responsibility. But this is God's Word, and we need to be very, very careful with God's Word. As John was a little bit surprised, I think John reading Proverbs 31 for me this morning, as he was a little bit surprised that I had to read the entire chapter. Yes, Gary's going to be trying to do the entire chapter this morning. So we're going to be camped out there in Proverbs chapter 31, so you can open your Bibles there. I'll reference a couple of other places, but I have them wrote down so that you don't have to turn up and just read them. But let me wake this thing up. Gary is not a tech person. Aha, yes, Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the message that his mother taught him, certainly here. The first nine verses of this chapter are written in the form of a warning, I believe that's on there, from a loving mother to her son. So the first nine verses are directed to him, and then she talks about the virtuous woman. When I started out with this, I'm like, who is King Lemuel? Like Agar in the previous chapter, he is mentioned nowhere else in the Bible. The word literally means one that is unto God or devoted to God. Some believe that this could be used symbolically of any king that was devoted to God or was unto God. Makes sense. Or perhaps this was a name that Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, used for him. Solomon's name literally means one beloved of the Lord or one unto the Lord. So, is it Solomon? Or is it another king? We don't know. But who is King Lemuel? That's my question. Okay. So, right? My wit is over for the day. Don't miss the message. Don't get caught up in who is King Lemuel. Don't miss the message. Learn from the message. All of us learn from it. Okay? I believe that he, this is an opinion, that he probably received this as a young man, soon to be king, or, you know, was a very, very young king. A quick point on this, even a king needs instruction. Yes, even a king needs instruction. Who in here does not need instruction? Raise your hands. We all need instruction. Remember, it is not in man to guide his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need guidance. We need wisdom from the Lord and guidance. Isn't that the point of Proverbs? A few Proverbs here. Proverbs 4:24, verses 1 and 2. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Proverbs 6:20, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law of light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Again, one more verse here. Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. And my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Keep the laws of the Lord before us at all times. We need instruction. Even a king. Yes, all of us need instruction. That's the point here. We need instruction. Keep them before you. Verse 2. This verse 2 is kind of an attention getter, if you will. She says here, what, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows. Two words, I think, describes this verse, if you will. First one is he. Pay close attention to instructions and live. This is attention. Please pay instruction to my instruction. Pay attention to my words. These words are given from a mother who loves her son. These words are given from God who loves us. Okay, learn from that. She's saying, in a sense, you're my son that God has given me, and this advice is given out of a great concern for your well-being. She's saying, I know the position you're being put into and the great temptations that you will be faced with She knows his character and his weaknesses best. And I've given you instructions in that regard. The other one is what. She says what three times here. What? And I think this is taken in kind of a form of a reproof. A reproof is needed. Similar to heed, consider the course you are going to take or are taking. Do you want to live your life foolishly, wasting it on wine and women? Haven't I taught you better than this? Heed, listen, pay attention. She's getting his attention. We as parents have the obligation to instruct children in the way that they should go. This instruction is given out of love, seeking to guide them. Who in here hates their children? None of us. That's ridiculous, right? Our instructions are given out of love. We want to keep them from ways that will bring about their destruction, the ways of the devil. Why? Think about this. Consider this. Why does God instruct us? Because he hates us? No. He loves us. That's why he gives us instruction. He's not trying to keep us from enjoying life. That's a trick that the devil uses. God is guiding us in the right way, protecting us from harm, guilt, and unnecessary sorrow. Who knows better than God? No one. Okay? Sometimes these words need to be said. Correction is hard, yes, but sometimes these words need to be said. You are God's child. Think about what you're doing. Yes, if I'm doing something wrong, I would like someone to come tell me those words. Gary, think about what you're doing. Okay? That's verse 2. 3 and 4. Her warning starts with, I categorize this as stay away from sin. Notice verse 3 and 4. Do not give your strength to women nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings to love you out. It is not for kings to drink wine or princes to intoxicating drink. Okay? Stay away from strange, immoral women. Okay? Don't be entangled with women who will bring about your ruin. Don't do it. Stay away from them. The book of Proverbs talks about the immoral woman over and over and over. Chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Remove your way far from her. Her is the immoral woman there. Context. Do not go near her door or the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one. She will bring about your ruin. Stay away from her. Stay away from those women. Look what happens. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. By means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Stay away from them. They will ruin you. Think about this. You are king. You have an important role in front of you. Do not be entangled with women who will use any means possible to destroy you. By conversation, they may learn of your plans or affairs of government. Don't let those women lead you. You take the lead. If this was truly written to Solomon, did he listen to his mother's advice? Wow. What happened? Solomon let his foreign wives leave him. What was the result? Turned his heart away from God. Wow. Samson gave his life for a woman being him. Wow. Over and over. Many illustrations can be saw there. This, I'm going to go the other way now. This is not to say that we should not take counsel from godly women. Yes. Yes. Consider all godly advice given, but do not let women lead you. You make the decision and lead. And especially stay away from those things that will destroy you. Fornication, adultery, lust of the flesh that will certainly bring about your ruin. Think of how great a kingdom David had before adultery. When Bathsheba, the adultery with Bathsheba took place, what happened to David's kingdom? And his reputation, if you will, what happened to David? Wow, it brought him very low, tremendously. The kings are to lead the people. Their lives are to be an example of what is right in the eyes of the Lord. They are looked up to. Their lives are under careful scrutiny, certainly. They are exposed to a great number of temptations and need to be doubly on guard of their actions. In her thing here to stay away from sin, notice she makes special note of drink. His mother warns him to stay away from wine or intoxicating drink. She didn't just say drink a little. That's not what she said. She said not twice. The word not is used twice there. Not for kings, not for kings. Don't touch it. It will destroy you. Stay away from it. Kings are put in a great position of authority. Do not destroy it with drink. Verse 5 is the results. You will forget the law and pervert justice. Keep yourself from wine or strong drink. Sobriety must be maintained to carry out justice in the kingdom. Drink alters the mind's ability to reason correctly, thus causing injustice. We can turn to a myriad of passages. Just one I picked out is in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, woe to men mighty at drinking wine, woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. What caused the justifying the wicked and taking justice from the righteous man? The drink is what caused that. Stay away from it. The king must have a clear head to rule his own life first and to lead others. Drink must be avoided to have a clear head. Application. Who of us in here is going to be a king? None of us. I don't believe anyway. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I don't believe John Warren could be king tomorrow. I don't know. But what position do we have? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he's referring to Christians. He says, but you, Christians, are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We, Christians, are God's special people. Does the world see us? Certainly, yes. The world sees us, sees what we are doing. We are under careful scrutiny. The world is watching us. Are we lights to the world? Yes, we better be lights to the world, what is good and right. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 is a list of the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a tremendous list. Which of those works of the flesh would not destroy us? Every one of them would destroy us. Stay away from them. We must keep ourselves from them. And as she pointed out, drink carefully. We need to stay away from drink. This is not a class or a lesson on drinking. That would be another lesson. But can you tell me the good having a drink will do for you as a Christian? Can you tell me the good? If you can, come tell me. I want to know. We must carefully follow what God wants us to do. Verses 6 and 7. Wine and strong drink are reserved for those who are ready to perish, or bitter in their soul, to forget their troubles. Okay? Instead of bringing on yourself harm from drink, let those drink who seek to perish or have many sorrows. The king, he's referring to, look, you, king, you must seek to do good with the power given to you by God. With the knowledge given to him, he must administer justice with care and compassion. Verses 8 and 9, do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Always judge righteously. Defend the rights of the ones who are helpless or in need. Do not fear man, but rather fear God and be his voice for the ones who cannot speak for themselves. God is not here, but he placed people here to speak for those who need help. The king was one. You're supposed to be God's voice for those who are in need. Speak and defend the innocent. Isn't that what God has always desired for his people to do? How many times in the Old Testament was Israel condemned for not doing that? Over and over and over, repeatedly. It's the same for us today. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before the Father is this, that you visit widows and orphans in need, that you help those who are in need, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself from sin. Help those who are in need. The judgment scene in Matthew 25. Jesus said, as much as you've done this, helped others, you've helped too. That's what God has always wanted his people to do. That's what she's kind of telling them, giving instructions to the king. Yes, you do this. Notice that in her mother's advice for her son, she starts with his character. The first 9 verses, you pay attention to you, she said. You, pay attention to yourself first. Be a man. Be the man God wants you to be. This begs the question, how am I doing? All us men here, how am I doing? Am I the man God wants me to be? God is patient, and I'm thankful for that, because I need to improve. Okay, verses 10 through 31, King Lemuel's mother describes for him the virtuous woman. This is God's description of a virtuous woman, a goal that every godly woman should strive for. Gary's going to put something in here that's not in the text, but I believe it can be implied. King Lemuel, you want a virtuous wife? You first pay attention to your character, be a man. You be the man God wants you to be in order to have a virtue. Yes, look for a virtuous wife, but you be a man first, so that you are worthy of a virtuous wife. Certainly this woman is rare and her worth is far above rubies. These verses here, this is not for me, this is someone way smarter than me. The 20 verses in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, form an acrostic. That is, each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Arranged in sequence, the purpose for this arrangement may have been to highlight the wholeness of its beautiful subject matter, or perhaps it may have served as a learning device to help the reader remember the content. This certainly is a very, very well-known and beautiful section of Scripture. What Christian woman does not know about this section of Scripture? Entire books have been written on this section of Scripture. Yes, very, very well done. I'm going to look at this in kind of a topical order. We're going to jump around to different verses as regarded to the topic. Okay, so it's going to look like I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but like first topic, the virtuous woman honors her husband. Okay, not a lot wrote on here, just the verses. 31 and verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her so that he will have no lack of gain. She has her husband's confidence. She not only provides for his physical needs, but his emotional well-being is also her concern. She has won his complete trust. He knows by her attitude that when he leaves home, she will be faithful to him in all things. Proverbs 12:4 says that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. She honors her husband. He has her complete confidence. Verse 12 as well. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks her husband's good and is a continual source of benefit to him. She rewards herself by consistently pursuing his best interests. Whether in good times or in bad, she is loyal to him, loves him, supports him, and will continue to do so as long as she lives. In verse 23, her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She could contributes to her husband's success. It's clearly seen by attending to his domestic needs, if you will. He is able to take part in public matters. He develops a good reputation and is respected by many. He knows all too well that his prosperity and his good name is a twofold accomplishment. And the old saying, behind every good man is a great woman. Yes. She is that woman. She loves her family. Next section. She clothes her family wisely. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlets. Even in the most severe weather, she seeks to protect her family with proper clothing, and thus is not afraid of whatever weather comes their way. She also feeds her household well. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Rising early, preparing for her daily responsibilities, she's making sure her family has the necessary food and properly organizing the daily tasks to be done. She works diligently to provide for those who depend on her. And verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She watches carefully over all that goes on in the home and is not given over to the ways of the sluggard. Proverbs talks a great deal about that. She's not given over to the ways of the sluggard. She guides her house. She is following, or this 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, Paul says, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. She is following that example. I think that passage is on there, yes. And she is a keeper at home. Titus 2:5, the older women are to teach the younger women to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. A virtuous woman provides spiritual food as well as physical food for her family. This is a quote from Darlene Craig, someone I do not know, but she wrote a book on this section, and I like this quote, so I borrowed it. The quote is, within a mother's heart lies the spiritual starter dough for generations to come. I'll read that again. Within the mother's heart lies the spiritual starter dough for generations to come. She is frugal. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She's always searching for an economical way to provide for her family, like the merchant ships which sail through different lands in search of goods. She puts forward great effort to increase the family's resources by honest dealings. And verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She is encouraged by the fact that her frugality enables her to increase the goods for her family. She continues her work late. Her lamp does not go out by night was a sign of her industry and preparedness. And she also is a good neighbor. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She practices benevolence. She is full of compassion. She will share with the needy. Her efforts have been rewarded with plenty, but she does not keep it all only for her family. She extends her hand generously to those who are in need. This is repeated. This is something that we are all to do as Christians. 1 John 3:17-18, going to a lot of places here. But whoever has the world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. She is showing benevolence. She is showing love in deed and in truth. Not only providing the material needs for the poor, but also puts forth the effort to help and encourage the weak by her kind words and actions. In verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her mouth is full of wisdom and kindness. As a matter of fact, wisdom and kindness are such a part of her character that when she speaks, He brings grace to the hearers. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This woman is certainly not known for gossip, slander, idle talk. Therefore, her husband and others can safely look to her for counsel. She clothes herself properly. Her character is above reproach, if you will. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She's clothed first and foremost with the inner qualities of strength and dignity. Though she faces difficulties in life, she is strong and determined to do what is right, not wavering from God's path, no matter what comes her way. Her strength comes from the Lord. And verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She takes care of herself, staying away from those things that will bring harm to her body. She is active and always ready for the tasks that are ahead of her, doing them with the right attitude as to the Lord. And verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. The clothing is fine linen and perfect. She dresses in the way of a woman professing godliness. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. The virtuous woman dresses neatly and modestly. She makes her home attractive, comfortable, and inviting for those who live, gather, or take shelter there. She is industrious. Over and over, I know that all you women have read this, over and over again when you read this, you think, wow, this woman did something. She is very, very industrious, very busy. many verses in this section describe of her industrious spirit. They speak over and over of it. She uses her hands to work as she gathers material for clothing and other household uses. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it, but for profit she plants a vineyard. She's always looking for ways to enhance the family's assets. Her actions are always under the authority and approval of her husband. But she has the initiative and the desire to carry out her dealings to help her family. Verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff, her hand holds the spindle. But this hat and the spindle are like spinning for clothes. So the idea is that she's always busy in her efforts to help her family. She's setting a great example for that. And verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Not only providing for her own family, she's making enough to sell for a profit. But notice this, that her first priority is for family's needs before any other endeavor is acted upon. Family first before any other endeavor is to be acted upon. Her value. Wow. This is an incredible section. Proverbs 3, verse 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Look at the value of the virtuous woman. She is rare. Her worth is far above any riches of the world. Her value cannot be measured, and the man who finds her has found a great blessing. Verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Her works, the fruits of the fruit of her hands, bring her praise. The influence she has on others, even those outside her close family, bring honor and praise to her. The poor and the needy will praise her in the gates. The merchants will praise her in the gates. Her children will praise her in the gates. Her husband will praise her in the gates. And God will praise her in eternity. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Her children, once they have grown and matured, I mean, as they were, once they have grown and matured and realized what a great blessing they have had by being raised by a God-fearing woman, will rise up and call her blessed. When praise does come, it will come from ones who can see that she has done what is right because it is right in the eyes of the Lord. Her husband also praises her, realizing what a great blessing she is. This woman is praised. Her husband praises her. I'm going to speak to myself and the men of the congregation, the married men. Do we praise our wives as we should? I could use some improvement in this area. I got an idea, probably some of you can too. Do we praise her? God praises her. We should praise what God praises. Verse 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. She excels. Her family is grateful for her, realizing all the benefits they have had from her. As far as they are concerned, she is the greatest wife and mother in the world. She has always had their best interests at heart. Once again, God says this woman is to be praised. Are we praising the godly women in our lives? If not, why not? We need to praise what God praises. The key to her success. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The key to her success is that she fears the Lord. The Lord is the focal point of her life. He is the source of her energy, the source of her drive, the source of her wisdom, and is the hope for the future. The Lord, she fears the Lord and leans upon Him always. Physical appearance and beauty are deceitful and vain. Not that it is wrong to be physically attractive. I'm not saying that at all. But it should not be the primary focus of choosing a wife or the primary focus of a woman's life. The desire for beauty can rule a woman by taking her time and money if it is the most important part of her life. Yes, be attractive, but don't make that the most important part. You notice nowhere in these verses do we get a description of the virtuous woman's physical appearance. It doesn't talk about her physical appearance in these verses. It just doesn't. Yet we can clearly see that she is a lovely person. Yes, that's clear, that she is a lovely person. Where does her inner beauty come from? She fears the Lord. This woman fears the Lord. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The next are words of encouragement that I would like to pass along with the women today. I can read it. It's a difficult time to be a woman devoted to God. Our society presses ahead in an effort to convince women that the biblical picture of a godly woman is outdated and demeaning. Women are assured that without ambition for a secular career, if you will, and a disdain for family life, they are worthless and sell themselves short. In such a climate, it is essential that we return to the biblical truth and God's definition of a valuable woman. God's pattern for a worthwhile woman is still valid and functional. May we never lose sight of the work God has given to women and never flinch when others ridicule women for listening to God and simply doing their duty. Be a woman who has great worth in the eyes of God. You know, as I put this together, you know, we live in a time when it's, you know, it's difficult for a woman to be devoted to God. Our society presses ahead in the effort to convince women. We're probably not the only people that have ever lived in that era. I'm sure that many throughout the history of the world have lived in that time. But the thing is, let's follow God. Let's all strive to be the person God wants us to be. Let's all strive for that. God will help us if we lean upon Him. There's a brief look at Proverbs 31 for you this morning. We have not talked much about the plan of salvation, although we talked about it a great deal this morning in class. It is important. We talked a little bit about God's patience. I did this morning. God certainly is patient. In 1 Peter chapter 3, God said that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient. But we do not know how long we have here on this earth. Our last day may be today. Our last step may be the next step I take. If you're not a child of God, don't wait. You don't know when the Lord is coming back. You don't know. Don't wait. Give your life to the Lord. Walk with Him. Become a child of God. We talked about this morning. In Mark 16:16, he believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're subject to the call this morning, we'd be more than glad to help you. If you need some encouragement, prayer with the congregation, we'd love to help you with that as well. As we stand in the same prayer.